anybody else does, but you know, you have good weeks where you just feel like everything's going the right way, and you're okay, and then other weeks where you're struggling, and for me, it's a lot of things that God's trying to purge out of my life, stuff that just, like, that's not going to work anymore. You know, and I'm trying to go on as before, it's just not going to work anymore. And I don't really get the message until it's too late, and then I'm having to figure it out, wonder what's going on, and when I figure it out, it's just there's a peace with that, you know, but there's still a struggle.
Right.
And one of those things I felt like I'd been ignoring, and things weren't happening right, and it wasn't good. And the other day I was wondering, my water pressure was down in my camper, and half a side of my camper went out, and the heat was all messed up. It's just like the no fuses on one side, and I'm too proud to call my brother. And next thing I know, I don't have any water pressure, and I go around the back, and this thing's squirting water everywhere, you know, with the hose busted, and it smells. And I'm like, what in the world? So as I'm looking, it's raining, it's pouring rain, okay? And I reach over there to see the sewer line, and I see there's a little crack in it, so I go to move it to see how bad it is, and the thing just busts, the sewer just goes everywhere, all over me, it's pouring rain. I'm sitting there soaked in sewer, my water hose going off everywhere. I haven't got no power on half the side of my camper. I said, all right, Lord, you win. I just knew it that moment. I knew that was from God, and I knew it. And so but it's awful. It's an awful feeling. It's dark out. You've got this little light on. It's pouring rain. You know you have to get this fixed. I mean, it is what it is. You know, you just bite the bullet. So I'm in there. It stinks. There's sewer everywhere. I'm shutting off valves, and I'm dragging hoses out of the way. And I've got to go to Walmart now, so I change clothes. I'm like, I'm not even taking a shower. I'm going to Walmart. They can stay out of my way. And I go to Walmart, and I buy the stuff that's supposed to go, you know, the hoses and everything. And I'm walking back through, and it's 10 o'clock at night. There's nobody in Walmart. Maybe a few people. And I'm walking back toward the register, and as I was walking, I noticed this older lady, and she was, you know, probably in her 70s or something, white hair and everything, and she was just standing there. She had a bunch of groceries in her arm, and she was going to check out, and she was just standing in the aisle, and she was looking around. And I thought, well, I wonder what, it was just a glancing thought, I wonder what she's looking for. And as I walked to go, you know, buy her, she said, sir, can I ask you a question? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, do you know the reason for Christmas? You know why we have Christmas? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, I celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ being born. She said, that's exactly right. Can you quote John 3:16 for me? I said, yes, ma'am. I can quote it in two different languages. And I'm bragging. I can quote it in two different languages. Because at first I just thought it more of a joke. You know, some people are just being nice and everything. But this woman was sincere. She was earnest. And she was not someone that was pretty or something like, you know, in the sense where she had like whiskers and things growing, but she was not like poor, ill mental health or anything like that. It just seemed like she was clear-minded. And she just asked, and I quoted her John 3:16, and she said, sir, you made my day. Let me tell you something. She began to talk to me. She said, what? She said, why are you here? And I just told her, I said, look, I said, God's been dealing with me. I was literally just praying, coming from getting the antibacterial soap, all right? And I got the antibacterial soap for obvious reasons, right? And I'm coming and I'm praying, and God had given me peace from the time I got that soap to the time I got to her. God had given me peace right there about where they have the medicine aisle, where the RX counter is at Walmart up there in Moxville. And he literally gave me peace right there about that matter. And I realized, I said, I got it. I got it figured out. You know what I mean? I understand why this is happening. You know this. And I was praying, Lord, give me the strength to get this fixed. And I just knew I had that strength. I just believed that, you know, at that moment. If you ever understand what I'm talking about, that peace. And I got to her, you know, 15 yards, this lady stopped me. Can you quote John 3:16? And I told her, look, I said, I'm gonna tell you something. I said, I've done some crazy stuff in my life, and I spent a lot of time in jail. I said, but this past summer, I said, I got saved, and God saved me. And he forgave me. And I just told her, and I began to talk to her, and she began to cry. And she said, boy, she said, you have no idea. She said, I just thank God for you. She said, let me tell you something, Romans chapter 10. And she quoted Romans chapter 10. She said, beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. She said, your feet are beautiful. She said, and I don't know if she wasn't calling me to preach or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But she was just saying, you know, that testimony of her being able to. And I don't know why that woman was in another Walmart. I went back and grabbed something up. She was gone. I don't know what happened. But that made my day. I don't believe in coincidences like that too often. And that kind of stuff.
Amen.
And great rejoicing. I tried to call my pastor about it, but he was too sick for me to tell. And then the next day, he telling me he wants me to talk about the sin and sins. I said, well, okay. I wrote some stuff down. Pastor stole it, then he wants me to talk about it. So I had to rewrite it down. So, Pastor, from what I understood, you wanted us to look at sin and sins in the book of Romans.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And our father talked about sin and sins as the difference being sin being the sin nature, you know, what you have, what you're born with, the flesh, and sins being what the sin nature causes, the individual sins. So that's the way I understand it.
That's right.
All right. And that's the way I looked at it when I looked at the scriptures. Not from my revelation, however you say that, but from what my dad had said. And just going off of faith that he understands what he's talking about, I'm going to look at it like that. So I looked at it as in that context. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things I realized, and my father made us memorize this verse. We never did forget it. At least I did, at least some of it. But Romans chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "What then are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." And Paul is trying to establish that it doesn't matter whether they're Jews or Gentiles, they all have a sin nature. They're all under sin. And this is something that was maybe confusing back then from what I understand, because the Jews thought, you know, they were clean because they were doing all this good stuff and they obeyed the law and everything. And Paul's trying to establish before he goes any farther, no, nobody doesn't have a sin nature. Everybody is under the law. Nobody has done good. They're all gone out of the way. So, in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, he once again says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." So a couple things going on right here. For one, he once again said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So basically, it doesn't matter. Every single person on earth and has sinned. Every single person is under that condemnation, right?
Right.
Now, but it goes on to say that being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So he's saying, if you know, Jesus Christ is the one that is the propitiation for this. Because it says, "From God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past." And I thought it was interesting because he's talking about sins here. These are individual sins that are done. But he doesn't say for the sins and leave it at that. He doesn't say for the sins going forward. He says for the sins that are past. And, you know, if everyone has a sin nature, what happens? Sins happen because of a sin nature.
That's right.
So these
right.
sins, these individual sins, are what's being condemned under the law. So if you had a sin nature and it says if you've never sinned at all, if you've never sinned, then of course you'd be perfect. But we can't, right? And it's proven that many times in the Bible. It said, "For all have sinned." And so he's talking about this propitiation, Jesus Christ, is for all the sins that are past.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I realized about Book of Romans is like a legal document, okay? And if anyone knows anything about a legal document, you know it's very specific on how the wording. My brother's big on that. He'll come up to me sometimes and he'll say, "Man, I look at this right here." And it'll take me about 5 minutes to figure out what he's talking about because it's very specific. The legal wording, the jargon, how it's worded means something. And when it says for the remissions of sin that are past, I looked at that the other day. I was like, I wonder why it says past. And then it dawned on me, you know, here you have a sin nature, but that's not what's condemning you necessarily. It's because that sin nature is sinning, for all have sinned. And God had to be a propitiation for all those sins that are past, all that stuff that was committed. That's what that propitiation was in the past.
Right.
Romans chapter 4, verse 7. And then here's the quote from David. It says, saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin." Two different times, sins and sin. And David was talking about, he said, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered." The individual sins are covered. Now, I'm not sure the doctrine, I'm sure someone else who's well more qualified could tell you more about it. I just know there's a difference because it said one of them has an S and one of them doesn't, all right? But I will say, so the first thing is a little bit confusing to me. I don't quite understand the doctrine of that verse. But verse 8, I think I understand a little bit better. It says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin," a sin nature. And I looked up that word impute because, honestly, I think I understand what it means, but I wanted to understand what it means. And it just means to reckon something, to ascribe something to someone, usually in a negative context, so that it's no longer that person's fault. Okay. Right. So in a sense where they're not, if you were just going to scribe someone for you, if you had something, right? And let's say a child was carrying contraband in their pocket. And we said, we're not going to impute that sin to that child. Why? Because it's not that child's responsibility anymore. You know, something else. Even though that child had that contraband, it's against the law. It was a child. Someone gave that child that. Or whatever reason. The child picked it up. It doesn't matter. We're not going to impute that to that child. Okay? And so it says, David's saying, and that was the verse in Psalms, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And that was a prophecy. It's going to come a time where there's going to be a sin nature and you're going to have it, but God is not going to blame you for that. He's not going to ascribe that to you under the law. Okay, it doesn't mean you don't have it, but there's going to come a time where there's something else here. You said, okay, that person is no longer going to be ascribed.
That's right.
That punishment is not going to be there anymore. And it's usually a negative context, which is the sin nature. And that's just something that I saw this morning that was big. I thought was pretty interesting. Romans chapter 5, verse 21. Now, to be honest, there is so much in between there, and I know I'm skipping over a whole lot, but I'm not trying to be long. But basically, between those verses...
I've said that too, Carl.
I was trying to find a way not to say anything rude. I really wanted to read another verse first, though. Let's look at verse 16 and 17 of Romans chapter 5, okay? And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more shall they receive abundance of grace, and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. And I'm only going to read that because later on it talks about that in more depth. Mm-hmm. Verse 21 says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And for me, this is the first time I saw that word reign, and it uses it several times, okay? And, you know, if sin reigns, what does that mean? It means it's in control, right? Like the king reigns. Like the king is in control. What's in control? All right? And so their sin nature's in control, meaning it's controlling you. It's reigning. You know, it is what's dominant. All right? There may be times when you can do good. There's other times when you can't. But overall, what's in control of that is that that sin nature is reigning. And as sin hath reigned, that sin nature hath reigned unto death. And he talked about it from Adam to Moses, the sin nature. You know, this world is under that sin. And as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And there we have Jesus Christ, who now is that propitiation for our sin. Now that righteous, that grace, through which is through righteousness, or righteousness through grace, I have it backwards, is now reigning. All right? So now that's in control. All right, through Jesus Christ. And here we have a switch all of a sudden. He's showing us that switch now.
Amen.
Romans chapter 6. The first verse is, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid that. How that we are dead to sin, dead to that sin nature, live any longer therein. All right? And that's Romans chapter 6, verse 1. But verse 12, let's look at verse 12. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you may obey it in the lust thereof. So here we have that word reign again. He said, let not sin reign. So now it's a commandment. So I don't think it's something that's automatic. You know, I know there's plenty of times when I've let sin nature reign, and I've had to realize that. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't like being covered in sewer. You know, I'm serious. You know, you want to act like an idiot, you can be an idiot. And that's what God told me. And I'm serious. I can see that. It's a commandment. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you may obey in the lust thereof. This is a commandment. To us.
That's right.
Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. And that's another promise. It said, for sin shall not have dominion over me. I have that promise. I have peace with that. I know that. That is a blessing. That is the miracle to me.
Amen.
Okay? That's when I turned my life over to Jesus Christ. I had that faith and that promise in me, that hope that was saying, this will not have dominion over me anymore. All right? And I'm turning, I can't do that. I know, I already know I can't do that. All right?
Right.
My whole life is an example of the fact that I can't do that.
Right.
Okay? And I'm not talking about the times when I just didn't care. I'm talking about the times when I cared. It had dominion over me, let me tell you. Okay?
That's right.
And there's going to be times it's still going to be raining when I don't want it to. But that's a promise from God that I can hang on to no matter what. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. Okay? Romans chapter 7. Actually, I'm going to go back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Let's look at verse 12. Whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin was not imputed when there was no law. So here I found this very interesting, okay? Now, we know that the first man was Adam, right? For as by one man sin entered into the world, and then death by sin, right? The consequence of the sin nature is death, okay? And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, right? But here's what's interesting. In parentheses in your King James Bibles, it says, For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there was no law. So first of all, it seems to be telling me that even though Adam was on this world, earth, and there was no law, sin was still in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't imputed. What does that imputement mean? It wasn't put on his shoulders. It was not looked at, all right? And I thought about this. You ever seen, like in the Wild Wild West, when a sheriff comes into town, what's the first thing he does when he wants to clean up that town? He starts putting signs everywhere. No guns in the saloon. You know, tie your horses up on the rack. You know, so he starts making all these rules, all right? And people don't like that kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you ever had children, and Mike has children, and a lot of y'all have children, if you ever had your children just doing everything they want to do and everything's fine and something you had enough of it, you start making rules, all right? The most simple one is this. Y'all need to shut up and be quiet, you know, something like that, right? Everyone's running around. Daddy done had enough of it, all right? Suddenly there's a rule. There's a law there, all right? And it doesn't mean that that sin, that there all this ruckus was not there. It was there. It just wasn't imputed to those children until daddy got upset, you know, and laid down the law. Okay? And I think this is the same thing. You think about that sheriff. He's got all these guys that are running this saloon every day with guns, and it's a mess. The town's sick.
That's right.
It's crazy. The sheriff's trying to clean that up.
That's
right. That law. Bam. So now, the guys are going to run up to that shit in the apartment. The first one to get arrested is going to stand there in front of the judge. And the judge is going to go, sir, you said, why are you pleading not guilty? You had a gun. Everybody's testifying that you had a gun. He said, that's never been a law. I've had a gun in that doggone saloon for the last 20 years. He said, well, let me tell you something. You know, there's a law now.
Right.
And now that sin's being imputed. So that's what I thought. I think about that. You know, here we are. People are doing whatever they want. And suddenly this law comes into town. You know, through one man, there's this law. Now it's being imputed
Glory
to you.
To God.
It's being imputed to you.
Right.
It's now you're guilty for this, all right? It's on you now, all right? It's being ascribed to you. For unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there was no law.
Right.
Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them they had not sinned. Which is interesting, all right? So here's death, but it doesn't matter. You know, you're guilty because you have this sin nature. All right. Let's look at Romans chapter 7, verse 5. Romans chapter 7, verse 5. All right. It says, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. All right. The motions of sins, not the sin nature, the individual sin, the actual stuff that you're doing that's wrong.
Right.
Wrong before God, wrong before the law, wrong before the world, whatever. The individual motions of sins that you're doing that are bringing forth death, all right? And there's somebody that's, each person I think individually understands what I'm talking about. It could be anything. Anything
right.
that you think you're doing or that you know you're doing that's wrong.
That's right.
You know, that's individual sins, not just who you are as a person, not the person,
right.
not the sin nature, but those sins, those individual things, all right?
That's right.
For through in the flesh the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. And this is something that God had to show me before he could save me, because I looked at the law, and I think I talked about that last time. I looked about the law as being just something arbitrary that was there to cause problems, right, for me, okay? Why is there a stop sign in the middle of the night and I want to just blow through this thing, all right? It's dumb, okay? I didn't look at the Bible, church, the idea of God's house as being anything other than a place that I had to go on Sunday when I wanted to sleep in, all right? That was for my father,
right?
It didn't dawn on me that this stuff that's in my life, these actual individual sins that are in my life that are causing death,
yes,
causing mental health problems, they're causing all kind of confusion and problems. I'm sitting out here doing this stuff. God didn't write this stuff in here for no reason.
That's right.
All right? That was a revelation to me. Let me tell you something. I went up to that Bible conference and I heard that. I went back to church the next Sunday and it was a whole different ballgame listening to that preaching, because it meant something that was different. All right? I'm not in here for no reason. I'm in here for a reason. Okay?
Right.
There's a reason you're coming to this church, because you're an idiot. Whatever you've been doing has not been working. All right? Romans chapter 8, start at verse 11. Now, a lot of this stuff I do not understand, all right? I don't understand much about the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I just know that there's a spirit in me, a capital S spirit, and I have found that multiple times, even sometimes when I didn't expect it, that spirit of life coming up and testifying with me and knowing, I know that I'm a child of God. There's no doubt of me. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. I've never had a time when I sat there and wondered about it, because I know. I just haven't. I've had times when I thought, man, this is crazy. I didn't know it was going to be like this. When I know that I turn around and I know that I have something in there.
Right? Yeah,
that's to me a miracle beyond miracles, but I want to read about this. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. And once again, that word quicken means to make alive. Okay? Means to make alive, like to quicken your fingernails. He shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit. All right? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. So I looked at that word debtors. You know, someone who's a debtor is someone that owes someone something, you know? So if you're debtors to the flesh, it means you owe your flesh something, point blank. So he's saying, don't owe your flesh anything. I thought about that. What do
That's
I owe
good.
My flesh?
That's right.
And let me tell you something. When you talk about stuff like addiction, and addiction can come in many different ways. It's not, people think drugs and everything. There's perversions, there's sexual addictions, there's all kinds of different things
right.
that you have in your life. People are addicted to sugar, for goodness sakes.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Right.
So when I looked at this verse a whole lot different. It says, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. You don't owe the flesh anything. He's telling you that point blank. Okay? So,
Glory
you know, you God. Might have addictions, you might have stuff going on, but this is a commandment. It's not a commandment, it's a statement. He's saying we are not debtors to the flesh. We do not owe that flesh anything.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. I find myself plenty of times, especially in the last few months, when I realize, man, I'm giving this flesh a whole lot more than it deserves.
Right.
But that's a promise. You are not a debtor to the flesh, Carl Askew. You do not owe that flesh anything right now.
Praise God.
Amen.
For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And then, once again, if ye through the Spirit, there's a clause in there, right? Mr. Eric, how would they call that, a clause? So if you through the Spirit, it doesn't say if you mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. It says if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. So I just thought that was interesting. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And let me tell you something. This is just, that gave me so much liberty. This right here, let me tell you something. We have not received the spirit of bondage again. What is that spirit of bondage again to fear? It's that realizing, thinking that, you know, Mike talked about that hope, and I talk about this a lot, and it's a great statement. It was a great revelation. I think that God gave that for not just you, but he gave it for a lot of other people, Mike.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of people have been blessed by that statement.
Sure.
Yeah, I was blessed by it, all right? It's just a revelation when you see sometimes and a man realizes that, you know, all of us have hope. know, look at, I think of Eric, my father-in-law, he's got that hope, he's got all those kids, and his idea is to go out there and be able to provide for them and do what he has, and all those fathers have that same thing. And we have that hope in ourselves and all that, and Mike, of course, with all his kids and what he's doing, and just in his life, and just a general arrogance of a guy, you know, how guys get arrogant, so we're going to do this kind of stuff, and I don't know much, you know, I'm sure women have their own ideas and stuff, I just can only speak as a man, because point blank, I'm a man, right? And so we have that, but here is, right, but God bringing you to the point where you realize that, I have limitations. As arrogant as I am, God had to bring Mike to a point where he realized, he said, I can't, I have to give up. I can't do this by myself. I can't do this like this, right? You know, and not saying he can't probably survive. You dropped him off in a mountain with no money and naked, and he could probably figure it out and somehow convince the Yeti to give him some money to feed his family. But, the idea is that within himself, God brought him, no matter what it looked like, God brought him to realize that he had no confidence in that flesh, no confidence in that. And that's scary, okay? That's a scary thing when you get to that point, right? And for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, right? But have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Let me say, I was sitting there in that trailer, and I remember one time my father had told me, he said, son, he said, if you never speak to me again, he said, I want you to know Jesus Christ to be your father. And that was a long, long, long time ago. Me and my father had times when we just didn't speak to each other. We didn't agree with each other. And I handled it the wrong way so many times just because, just being bitter and, wanting everything my way and just ridiculous. Confusion, not even going to go into it. Just sin, being honest with you, sins.
Right.
And a lot of confusion and other kind of stuff. But the idea that Jesus Christ, that God the Father, has given me the spirit of adoption whereby I can look up and say, Abba, Father. That's an amazing thing, right? That's my Father up there. When stuff's going wrong and everything's working out, you can go, you have that. You can go and say, God, that's my Father.
Right.
I've been adopted. That Pastor Pyre said, I've adopted. Hallelujah. I've got a new song. That's an amazing, amazing thing. Let me tell you something. So that's really all I have. And I just want to, I'm glad y'all let me share that.
Okay.
Well, you can say it, David.
If you think that's something, I told Zach the other day, I said, if I could.